All right, today I've got two passages of Scripture I want you to turn to. The first one is in Proverbs chapter number 14 and verse number 12. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 12. When you find your place there in that passage, put your finger there or a pen or something and hold it and turn over to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25. Let me read these verses to you today. It's good to see Mrs. Leshenko today and her family here all the way up from Texas today. And it's good to see you today. Amen. Glad to have you with us. Let's read these two verses. First, Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now turn over to Proverbs 16, verse 25. And there the Bible says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Let me read it again. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. On two different occasions, God makes the same statement in the Word of God. And that statement basically is this: there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. In man's opinion, in man's views, it seems right, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You know, for the Holy Spirit of God to make that statement on two separate occasions, it should get our attention today. I think God is trying to get our attention today, because what God is saying here is, in our world around us, in religion, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I don't believe it was an accident that God put this in the Bible this way. I don't believe it was an accident. I believe it was for a matter of utmost importance unto God that we have this statement made on two separate occasions. And I believe with all my heart that the Lord God has given this statement for a specific reason. And that reason being because He loves sinful man. He loves us. He wants us to know Him as our Savior. And this statement also serves as a reminder to each of us that there is a way that is not good in the eyes of God for any of us to follow after. There is a way that must be a way that it's not right with God. But just as He shows us that there's a way not right, He also shows us that there is a way that leads in the opposite direction. And that way leads to truth and to life. And that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking of that way, which will lead one away from death and unto life, He shares with us something here that David wrote in the book of Psalm chapter 119. I want you to turn there just a moment. Psalm 119, verses 29 through 37. The psalmist David wrote this, and he's showing us that there is a way that leads us in the direction of truth and life. And in Psalm chapter 119, verses 29 through 37, he said, "Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord. Put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments. When thou shalt enlarge my heart, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I will keep it unto the end. Give me understanding that I may keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Not since God first created man and placed him there in the Garden of Eden and gave unto him the complete dominion of all that he had created. God gave man that dominion. Not since the day when God finished his creative act and he looked out upon all that he had created and he said, "It is very good." Not since that day when God gave the man whom he had created and loved with an everlasting love the opportunity to trust and to obey the very God who had created him and given him life. Has there ever been a more thought-provoking statement as this one found twice in the Word of God? And again, it simply says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You see, the way that Satan presented to mankind in the Garden of Eden was a way to death. It was a way to destruction. The way that our world presents to all those in our world today and on planet Earth outside of Christ, that way leads to the way of death. The way that God has is not the way that the devil has. Amen? It's not the same way. And it's not God's plan for anyone to walk away from knowing Christ as their Savior. Folks, I want you to remember something today. It is not God's will that any should perish. That word means to die without hope. It is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And you see, the way that Satan has painted and so flamboyantly and so beautifully portrayed in our world, that way leads to death. It leads to destruction. It leads to lives being ruined and destroyed by sin. But God offers the way of truth and of life and of everlasting peace and comfort. And this is indeed a way that leads to death that the devil has. His pathway, his way, leads to eternal separation from God. Now think about that just a moment. Eternal separation from God. But I'm so thankful that God made the way for you and I to know that we could be with him forever in heaven. And I want us to look today at the difference between these two ways in this message this morning. I want us to consider the message that God wants us to see today. And it's simply this. There is a way that seemeth right. There is a way that seemeth right. Let's pray and then I'll give you the message that God's laid on my heart this morning. All right? Heavenly Father, again this morning we want to thank you for the privilege that we have to be in the house of God today. Lord, I know that you have brought us here together for one purpose, and that is to worship you and to glorify your name and to learn from your word how that we might live for you and be able to take the message of salvation to everyone that believeth, and to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And Lord, I pray that today you will help us to see that although the world offers many ways of satisfaction and pleasure, Lord, those ways lead only to death. But God, you offer the greatest way to salvation. You offer the only way to salvation. And I pray, Lord, if there be anyone here today that does not yet know you as their Savior, that, Father, you will speak to their hearts today and bring them to the point where they see their need of a Savior. And, Lord, for those of us who know you as our Savior today, help us, dear God, that when we leave this place, that we will be willing to share the message of the way, the truth, and the life to everyone that we come in contact with. And Father, we'll thank you for what you do. For it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. I want us to see, first of all, this morning, number one, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but that way is not God's way. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but that way is not God's way. The way that seemeth right unto a man is the way of death. Now, I looked up in the Webster's Dictionary that word death. Now, this is what the Webster's Dictionary said. That state of being, man, animal, or vegetable, but particularly in which there is a total and permanent cessation of all vital functions. When the organs have not only ceased to act, but have lost the susceptibility of renewed actions. Boy, that's a lot of fancy words, isn't it? For a little word called death. But you know, it goes on to say, it is a permanent cessation of all vital functions. The state of no longer being alive. That's what sin brought into our world, folks. And death by sin. Separation or alienation of the soul from God. A being under the dominion of sin and destitute of grace or divine life. And then it said, spiritual death. You see, the Bible tells us in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20. The Bible said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. He goes on to say, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, that the wages, the penalty, what we deserve to be paid for our sin, the wages of sin is death. And over in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, the Bible said that God spoke there, and he said, I call heaven and earth to record against you this day, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. You see, the way of death may seem to be a way of living for many folks that are vile sinners. I watched last night a documentary about a young girl that lived and died at a very early age. She began to sing in church. She began to sing great songs of praise. But then she recognized the fact that she had a talent. She had a talent. And then she began to sing the songs of the world. She became part of the world. And later on, she died in a horrific plane crash in the way of the world. Folks, listen to me today. The devil wants to paint a picture that sin is beautiful, that religion is good, but that commitment to Christ is bad. Oh, they say, don't be committed to something. It's all right to be religious, but you don't need to be committed to that. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but that way is not God's way. Number two, I want you to see this. The way that seemeth right unto a man is indeed the way of Satan. You see, Satan has a plan just like God has a plan. Satan's plan is to hurt the heart of God. Satan's plan is to get back at God for God not allowing him to exalt his throne above the throne of God, to be worshiped by all. And you know, the sad thing is, Satan seems to paint such a pretty picture of what sin is all about. If you go down the road and you see all the signs about the drinking, and now even the cannabis stuff they're selling here in our city, our state, our county. Listen, he paints the picture so pretty, but he never shows you what's on the other side of it, does he? He never shows you the consequences of sin. And there are consequences for sin. In speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees who sought only to tempt the Lord Jesus and to cause all those around him not to believe his words, Jesus told the religious scoffers of his day something that you need to remember. And it's found in John chapter 8, verse 44. And this is what Jesus told them. He looked at those men that outwardly seemed so pious, so religious, dressed in their fancy garb, who are actually trying to turn the people away from Jesus. And Jesus looked at those men and he said this, "Ye are of your father, the devil." Boy, that's pretty strong words. Jesus said, "Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Can you imagine those religious leaders that day? "Oh, I'm offended. Oh, I can't believe he said that." Well, he did. And it's recorded in his word. And it'll never come out of his word. Jesus saw the hearts of those men. You see, Satan's way is always to exalt himself. And the way to his way, he wants to appear to be the right way. He wants to make his way to seem like it's the right way. I remember when I was a little boy, I turned 12. The church we were in, you got sprinkled when you were 12 years old, okay? And some of the other kids, we did catechisms and all kinds of verses and things like that. And I never will forget, I wore one of those little robes. I sang in the choir, okay? I had a little black skirt. That's the only time I've worn a skirt, okay? Was in church. Can you believe that? Had a little black skirt, had a little white top with a big black bow at the front of it. And I never will forget. I got sprinkled that day and all the kids wanted to touch my head. "It's wet." Well, yeah, that's what happens when you put water on your head. It gets wet. All right? But none of those things changed my heart. It didn't change my heart. I had a wet head. Later, I went to a church and I got scripturally baptized. They baptized me in that church. My parents told them, "Oh yeah, they're good kids. They've been saved all their life." And they baptized me. But guess what, folks? It didn't change my heart. My name was written on a church roll, but my name was not written on the roll in heaven, because I'd never been saved. "There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Satan's way always leads to destruction. We're reminded in Isaiah chapter 14 of Lucifer's demise when he tried to exalt himself above God. Listen to what the Bible said. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet, God said, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Folks, Satan's way is to glorify himself, not God's way. Not God's way. That's not God's way. God wants us to glorify him. And God is glorified when we place our faith and trust in Christ and in Christ alone. It's not my good deeds. It's not my good works. It's not my good looks. Everybody knows that. It's not my bank account. It's not in my stature or where I live or what I do. But it's in Christ alone. Satan wants to exalt himself, and that is not God's way. I want you to see something else here. Number two, there's a way that seems right and is unknown to men. There is a way that seems to be unknown to men, but it is indeed the right way to God. In the New Testament scriptures, there are a lot of things that we read. And one of the things that we read about are the ways that are unknown to men. Today, many times we can go and we can share the message of the gospel with somebody, and they've never heard of John 3:16. They've never heard about the God who gave his only begotten Son for the sinful man that lived upon earth. They've never heard those things. And there are some things that I fear today as I stand before you and proclaim the Word of God. Number one, I want you to see this. The fear that I may say something that is incorrect or would cause someone to be separated from God in hell. When I stand before you to preach the Word of God, when our pastor stands before you, there is a respect, there is an awe for the Word of God. I would never want to say something that would lead someone away from Christ. All that I do and say, I want to point folks to the Savior. I want to point them to the way that leadeth unto life. The psalmist David begged the Lord God in Psalm 19, verse 11. He said, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." The Old Testament prophet Samuel, he told the people of his day over in 1 Samuel chapter number 12, verse 23. He said, "Moreover, for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way." Folks, that's my job this morning. That's our pastor's job. That is your job as a born-again child of God, to teach your family, your loved ones, your neighbors, your co-workers, the ways of the Lord, the right way. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 10, the Bible said, "The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth." Folks, I don't want to ever say something that would hurt you. I would not want to say anything that would cause you to turn away from God. The desire of my heart is to give each of you the words of hope, the words of truth that came from the very heart of God, and we have written before us in this book that we call the living Word of God. And each and every time I stand before a group, or even before an individual person, and proclaim the Word of God, I do it in remembrance of the plea that was made by the rich man that is in hell today. I do it in remembrance of that man. You say, "Preacher, what in the world did he say that you would want to remember?" When from the flames of hell and from the torments that he was enduring in hell, the Bible said, "In hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. And he cried out there from the flames of hell." He cried out there. And his intention was for somebody to go to his father's house. Listen to what he said. He said, "For I have five brethren." He wanted Lazarus to go to his father's house. He said, "Here's the reason. I've got five brothers that are there. And I want somebody to go there that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." Folks, you listen to me today. My fear is personally that each time I stand, this morning I taught in Sunday school, this morning I teach you here from the Word of God, this afternoon I'll preach again at a nursing home, then this evening I'll preach again here at 6 o'clock. But my desire is to make the message of truth so clear unto you and those who hear it that if they do not know Christ as their Savior, the Holy Spirit will convict them of their sin and help them to see their need of a Savior and choose to accept Him today as that Savior. There is a way that the world has that would lead you away from that. It would lead you in another path, another direction. But I want you to see also there is a fear that those who are listening to the message I'm preaching today will choose to reject it. Whenever I stand to preach, the burden upon my heart is, number one, to make the message clear. And to make it clear enough that someone will not turn it aside. Do you understand today that God wants each of us to be able to hear that message of truth and to accept it? I'm so glad as a 15-year-old boy I did that. Amen. I trusted Christ as my Savior. He came in my heart. He saved my soul because the message had been made clear to me. But if you're sitting here in this room today and you do not know Christ as your Savior, and you have never, to this day, you have never understood what Christ did for you, I want you to hear, I want you to understand that God loves you and He wants you to be saved. He wants you to be His child. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 4 that there would come a time, he said, when they will not endure sound doctrine. Today, folks are living to worship and praise and feel good about what they do and never see their need of a Savior. Today, our world has gotten so churchy and the churches have gotten so worldly that you cannot tell the two apart. And folks, Paul said there's going to come a time when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, their own desires, their own way of feeling good about things, but after their own lusts, they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Paul knew that there would come a day in which those who listened to his preaching would just slough it off as something that was not important. They didn't need it in their life. They had their own way of doing things. And Paul wanted them to understand, listen, God has the right way of doing things. In Acts chapter 17, I was reading this week. And there in Acts chapter 17, Paul's on the missionary journeys. And we read of how Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill. And this is what he said. He said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious." That word superstitious literally means to be rigid in their religious observances. Okay? They were stooped in religion. They were addicted to superstitions, full of idle fancies and scruples in regard to religions. He said this, he said, "For I, as I passed by and I beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God." You know what was happening in that day in Athens? They were trying to be politically correct. I watched some of the events that happened on this convention that they were having, the Republican convention this week. And I noticed how they had all these different religions and people of those religions coming up and praying unto their God. One woman prayed in a different tongue of some sort. I guess it was her native tongue. And sadly, she prayed to her, as she put it, to her one true God who had blessed America. And she asked for that false God's blessing upon this land. Folks, Paul looked around and he said, man, they got altars to every God that you can imagine. And just so they wouldn't offend anybody, they set up an altar there to the unknown God. In case there was one they missed, they put it up to the unknown God. But listen to what he said. He said, I found an altar with this inscription to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship. Him declare I unto you. And he preached unto them Jesus. Folks, listen to me today. Paul explained to these men of Athens exactly who that unknown God was that they were so ignorantly worshiping and offering things to. And Paul tried to help them to understand. And the Bible said here in that same chapter, Acts 17, verses 32 through 34, and when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. Well, that happens in our world today. They mock. They make fun. They ridicule. Things haven't changed. Why? Because men's hearts have not changed. The only thing that will change a man's heart is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some mocked. And others said, we'll hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit, certain men clave unto him and believed. Among the which was Diosthenes, the Areopagite, and a woman called Damaris, and others with them. Dear friend, listen to me today. If you're here today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you don't know the joy it is to be set free from your sin, and to know the joy that only God can give, not in being religious, but in being born again, born into the family of God, I want you to understand God loves you. Don't turn Him away today. Don't turn away the Savior. There is a way that is right to God, and that way is Jesus. Amen. Amen. You see, we've sinned against God. Therefore, God had to be the way, the one to make the way possible for us to be right with Him. That's why the Bible tells us that God gave His only begotten Son. In the book of John, chapter 14, verses 5 and 6, the statement was made and the question was asked, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus looked at his disciples and he said this. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In 1 Timothy, the Holy Spirit of God had Paul write these words. There is one God and one mediator between God and sinful men. One mediator. Amen. Not many. Not various ones. There is one holy God and one mediator between that holy God and sinful man. The man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Folks, I want you to understand, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but it's not the ways of God. There is a way to come unto God, but you've got to choose that right way. You see, God does something for us that we ought to thank Him for today. He gives us the opportunity to choose. Listen, if I made my wife try to love me, it wouldn't mean anything like it does for her to choose to love me. Last night I was here and I was preaching the services in New Zealand with a soul winning training. And I finished up the messages for this morning and tonight that I'll be preaching later tonight. And it was probably after 8 o'clock sometime I got finished and my wife texted me. She said, are you going to be able to come home for supper? And I thought to myself, well, she's probably already sat down and eaten, and she's just going to keep it warm for me. And I said, yeah, I should be there in just a little bit. I'm making some phone calls, and I'm just trying to catch up on some folks. And she texted me back. She said, then I'll wait for you, and I'll have it ready when you get here. Now, she chose to do that because she loved me. Man, we had cube steak. We had baked potatoes. I mean, we had all the fixings with it. We sat down together. Why? Because she chose to love me enough to do that. And you know what? When you choose to love God because He first chose to love you, then that's when you make the right choice. The question is today, what would be your choice? There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. God said, my son Jesus is the way. And folks, listen to me today. He wants us to know Him. Now, if you're saved and you're already born again, you know Christ your Savior, you need to praise God for that fact. But we have a message to declare to this world. This is not the time to run and hide our heads in the sand. We need to go out in the love of Christ and let folks know God loves them. And He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I want you to understand today, the devil is already out there with all of his flamboyancy and all of his beautiful signs and wonders and making the world look so pleasurable to the flesh. But you need to remember today, one day this flesh is going to die. And your eternal soul is going to spend somewhere. It's going to spend eternity somewhere forever. Will it be with Christ? Or will it be separated from Christ? The choice is yours. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Choose life today. And choose to take that message to every person that you meet. Let's pray this morning. Father, Lord, I've had so many things I desire to say. I want to say because I want your people to know and understand the way of truth. And Lord, I've tried to present the message of the gospel today to help us to understand we have a choice today. And Father, I'm thankful, God, for that day, March the 28th, 1975. As a 15 and a half year old young man, I bowed upon my knees. I called upon your name. And I believed what the Bible said and received you as my Savior. Oh God, what a day that has been. But Lord, there may be someone in this room today that's never been saved. They're searching. Lord, they're truly wanting and desiring to know, what must I do to be saved? God, help them to see today that they need to put their faith and trust in you. It's not in religion. It's not in anything else that we can do or say, our good deeds or anything else. But Father, it's in you. You are the way of the truth. You are the way, the truth, and the life. And I pray, God, you'll help them to come to you today. And Lord, if there be those in here today that are saved, and yet, Lord, they have not been willing to take that message of the gospel to anyone around them, God, I pray that today you'll help them to see the need of the hour. Our world needs Christ. And Lord, we have the message to take. Help us, dear God, to be willing to take that message boldly and proclaim it today to all who will hear. Speak to our hearts now, Lord, as we give this invitation. And Lord, I pray, God, that you'll have your will and way in all that's done and said. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.